Back to school time can also mean back to debating education policies where you live time. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, we've invited back our panel of European moms who've joined us just a few weeks ago. They're here today to talk about the education system and how it works in their country, what they like and what they don't. It promises to provide an interesting contrast with how things work where you live as we find out how policies and expectations differ between Scandinavia, France, and Slovenia. We'll also check in with listeners who have stories to share of unexpected surprises they've enjoyed in their travels. They've enjoyed them because they turned them into happy travel memories. Let's start with our friends Jane and Michael Stern. They're the experts at finding the most interesting and authentic regional comfort foods all across the United States. Their newly revised road food guide includes some great new finds. It highlights restaurants and takeout joints from Nebraska to the Dakotas, from the Ohio Valley to the Upper Peninsula. Places where food is inspired by old world recipes that'll make even a road tripper feel right at home. Jane and Michael, good to have you back.
Great to be here,
Rick. Hi, Rick.
You guys have been at this for 35 years now. You're just finding it's the fountain of youth. Eating all this road food keeps you young and frisky.
We're still hungry, that's for sure.
How do you work up an appetite when you're researching?
It's not difficult. You know, when you walk into a really good restaurant, the aroma itself is enough to stimulate appetite.
Michael and I were in Hatch, New Mexico, which is the chili capital of New Mexico. And when the chili harvest, the red and green peppers are ready, the chili pickers put out these large charcoal or wood-fired roasters by the side of the highway. Oh. And they roast the chilies, and the aroma is unbelievable. And if you stop, they will give you a length of a baguette or a piece of French bread and the charred, peeled, roasted peppers on them. Oh, my God, that is so delicious.
Nice. So now, how's your book? You got the 9th edition out. How is it different from the 8th edition?
Well, for one thing, it has 900 restaurants instead of 700 as in the previous edition. And more important, what's new for this edition, we've never done it before, is among the 900 restaurants, all of which we think are well worth a visit, is the Road Food Honor Roll. This is a list of the 100 most important restaurants, the essential restaurants. If you want to get a taste of America, the Road Food Honor Roll is 100 restaurants where you will get that taste at its finest.
Nice. Now, I want to talk about the Midwest here and road food in the Midwest. And I know when I go to Nebraska, it's almost a patriotic duty to eat red meat. I was just in North Dakota driving through Bismarck and stopped by a little roadside diner, and a sign on the wall said, it just felt like this is a no hippies kind of place. It said, because you did what you did, you got what you got. That was the poster that welcomed diners there, you know? And I wondered from you guys' point of view, because you go all over the United States, and I get a sense there's a little bit of a reverence in your writing and so on. Do you find the same welcome throughout the country? And sometimes do you get into a redneck place where you just feel like, oh, let's be careful what we say? Or how do you characterize just the culture in the diners, from poor to rich parts, from conservative to liberal parts?
Well, I'll tell you, when we started way back, you know, in the late 70s, this was like we were still in the afterglow of the sort of hippie, easy rider era where, you know, heaven forbid we have long hair and not fit in. And we would walk into diners. We still do walk into a strange diner, and suddenly everyone stops what they're doing and looks at us. And I think, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen now? In fact, what we've learned over the years is 99 out of 100 times, they stop and look at you just because you're a stranger, not because they're about to kill you. Honestly, we've never really encountered any kind of hostility, and especially because once we get into a place and I pull out my camera and start taking pictures of the food and ask people about, is there another place where you can get a good biscuit around here? That kind of curiosity about people's own local way of eating makes people really friendly. They want to share their finds.
I want to talk about the Midwest, and I'm impressed when I travel about the proud and vivid subcultures within our melting pot society. Just last week, I happened to be passing through Bismarck, and I didn't realize there is a proud Russian-German immigrant community there, and it certainly showed itself in the food. So if you're going to eat well in Bismarck, or eat typical, you'd want to go to a Russian-German diner, and then you'd learn about the potato soup and the Fleischkuchel and so on. Give me your take on subcultures, ethnic communities, and how that impacts the food you might choose with a smart road trip eating plan.
Well, I was just thinking, Michael, by the way, is from Illinois, so I may at some point during this Midwestern segment just go out for a coffee break and let him do everything. But One of the great things to eat in Chicagoland is Polish food. Michael, aren't there more Poles in Chicago than there
than
are
in Poland?
Poland?
Something like that.
Right. But the great thing to eat in Chicago is funeral lunches, which sounds very morbid. But in fact, there are Polish restaurants often don't speak a word of English, and they will serve you what they call funeral lunch, which is kind of somewhere between lunch and dinner. And it's duck soup and spetzel and, oh my gosh, it was absolutely incredible goulash.
Well, it would behoove a traveler to know what is the ethnic mix just from the immigrant point of view of a region before they choose their road food stop, I would imagine.
You're right. And the Midwest is particularly rich in that kind of food. For some reason, there are a lot of parts of the Midwest in cities as well as some kind of almost isolated small towns where immigrants, you know, from all over the world have really kept their traditions very much alive. I'm thinking in Cincinnati, for example, one of the great street foods of Cincinnati and really only Cincinnati is the Met, short for Metwurst. And it's because there's so many really good German butchers in and around Cincinnati. And believe me, if you like hot dog type foods, this is like the Uber hot dog.
Nice.
And Pella, Iowa still is very proud of their Dutch heritage. I think there are six little cafes there that all serve Dutch food.
Pella bologna, the Dutch lettuce, yes. And that's true throughout the Midwest. I mean, some of the Russian-German influence that you were talking about in North Dakota, you see that a lot also in Nebraska. In and around Lincoln, there's a specialty food called a runza, R-U-N-Z-A, also known as a bierock, which is sort of an import from what they call the Volga Germans, you know, people who came there. And you won't find it anywhere else, and it's in various places. It's called a cabbage burger. What it is a sort of a pastry filled with beef and onions.
So it's Germans who went to Russia and picked up that
and
culture
came,
and then came to the United States.
Exactly.
And then in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you have the Cornish pasty, which the coal miners from Cornwall came over with.
Great.
Exactly. And Cornish pasties in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan are really more popular than hamburgers.
Well, there you go.
Take me back to the Black Hills of Dakota.
Jane and Michael Stern have recently updated their road food guide to 900 of the best barbecue joints, lobster shacks, ice cream parlors, and highway diners across the lower 48. They also offer road food road trip itineraries. It's on their website at, of course, roadfood.com. They're joining us right now on Travel with Rick Steves with a special focus on the tasty treats you can find in the Midwest. And Clara's calling in from Cincinnati in Ohio. Clara, thanks for your call.
Hi, thank you for having me on the program.
Yeah. Do you have some thoughts on places we want to be sure to eat at when we go to Cincinnati?
Well, Cincinnati is known for its chili, obviously, and Michael just mentioned the Metwurst. A lot of people don't know that Cincinnati has the largest Oktoberfest in the United States. So there's obviously lots of Metwurst served that weekend.
So a lot of Germans in Cincinnati then, remembering their heritage?
Yes, we even have a section called Over the Rhine, which was a neighborhood north of a canal that the British people would call Over the Rhine because they were making fun of the Germans on the north side of the canal, which is now a roadway. Recently, National Geographic Traveler lauded us for our, among other things, our eclectic non-chili cuisine. So other than the Metwurst, I was wondering if Michael had any other memorable Cincinnati food moments that he wanted to share.
Without a doubt, I would definitely mention Goetta, which is G-O-E-T-T-A. And if I say this, people in Cincinnati will be very angry with me. It's vaguely like Scrapple, but way better. It's like pork and pin oat loaf that is, again, made mostly by the German butchers in town. And it's served at breakfast. It's sliced and fried, and it's kind of crisp and porky and really a delicious breakfast meat that's very different from bacon and sausage. The other weird thing about Cincinnati, and this I can't explain, is it is a great ice cream town. There's Grater's, of which there are many branches around town, which makes this great. It's not even chocolate chip ice cream. It's ice cream with these big chocolate hunks in it. And also there's a place called Aglamesis Brothers. There are two of them. And these are really great old-fashioned ice cream parlors, all decorated in pink with wrought iron chairs. And the ice cream there is stupendous at both these places. Why this is unique to Cincinnati, I don't know, but it is.
You know, this whole discussion makes me celebrate a dimension of a melting pot society that I hadn't really considered. And it's just the variety of food that we get to enjoy because we're a melting pot society. And I think it makes sense to celebrate that in our travels and stoke it with our patronage and enjoy that.
And don't forget, Rick, that Cincinnati chili really is Macedonian. The weird spices are chocolate, cinnamon, all these very, very strange Macedonian mixtures.
Nice.
People either love it or hate it.
Is that right?
There's no middle ground.
I love it.
I love it.
Let's take a vote. How about you, Clara? Love it or hate it?
Oh, I adore it. I think it's fantastic. Great at a Cincinnati Reds baseball game.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Jane and Michael, let's just finish it off with dessert. When you're road tripping around the Midwest, what desserts get you excited to return to the Midwest?
Okay, I go first this time. Sour cream raisin pie in Wisconsin, the great Midwestern dessert, and also Iowa. Sour cream raisin pie.
Okay, because Charles from Naperville, Illinois, just emailed us, and he said he spent his summers in rural Minnesota and loves the sour cream raisin pie. Where's the best place to get this type of pie? Jane, what are you thinking is the best place to get sour cream raisin pie?
I will say the best place to get sour cream raisin pie is Lang's Cafe in Pipestone, Minnesota. It's in the far western part of Minnesota, and they make superb sour cream raisin
pie. Nice. Okay, Michael, your favorite dessert in the Midwest?
Well, I can never resist a turtle sundae. Throughout the Midwest, all the ice creameries there outdo each other with like ice cream, chocolate sauce, caramel sauce, and salted chopped hot nuts on top. To me, that is like the ultimate ice cream dessert.
Salted chopped hot nuts on top. You guys are just so sinful. You make me want to go out and eat everything on the highway. Not on the highway. I want to get off the highway and find these beautiful, delicious, vibrant, ethnic, tasty delights. Jane and Michael Stern, you guys are so much fun. Thanks for joining us, and best wishes with your road tripping and eating well while you do it.
Bye-bye, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Cincinnati, Toledo, off to Buffalo. Riggity-jiggity-jiggity-jiggity-jig.
Cincinnati, dancing pig. He's the barnyard, Mr. Big. Cincinnati, dancing pig.
Where there's riggity-jiggity-jiggity-jiggity-jiggity-jig.
We'll find out next what our panel of European moms has to say about how their children are being educated and what concerns they have about education policies in their countries. And we'll also check in with listeners who have some interesting stories of their own about how they dealt with the unexpected on their recent trips. We're at 877-333-7425. It's Travel with Rick Steves.